Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown, Twins and Brewers tonight from American Family Field. Twins trying to win their third in a row. We'll have much more on that following the news and weather at 5. Highlights from Friday night's wild win over the Brew Crew. Saints still in town. They're playing at CHS Field. The Louisville Bats in town. And Target Field will be packed again tonight for the Savannah Bananas. Andy Gritter joins us from the Pioneer Press. He covers Golden Gopher football in the Loons, so a very busy time of year for Andy. Always good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Keith. How are you?
Yeah, good to visit with you, Andy. I was thinking of trying to get into the ballpark to see the Savannah Bananas. I've caught it on TV. You got to admit, it's pretty good sports entertainment. I know there's some that are saying, I don't know. But the fans love it.
I remember when I was a kid and went to Target Center and watched the Harlem Globetrotters and was blown away by that in the mid-90s. And I think this is a very similar kind of thing, right? It's about the spectacle. It's about the showmanship. It's about the entertainment as much as it is and more than it is about the actual sports. So I think if it engages with, you know, young people and kids and families and they're able to come out to the ballpark or the arena to watch it, I'm on board with it. I think it's cool to see it kind of grow over the years. I remember it a couple of years ago and kind of seeing it and going, what the heck's going on here? And kind of seeing it build, I think it's quite a phenomenon.
Yeah, it is incredible. So three sold-out crowds at Target Field this weekend for the Savannah Bananas. Pretty good stuff. Let's get in. We mentioned the Vikes started camp and the Golden Gopher football team started camp. And, Andy, you know, the sense is going to camp, you know, they have a quarterback, but with the portal and all the turnover with every program in big-time college football, you're not really sure what you got, but at least the Gophers have a quarterback to start with going into the 26th season.
I think it's one of the biggest sources of optimism around the program is what Drake Lindsey can do and show his next stage in his development. I thought he had a really strong freshman year, and I think he's got the size, he's got the strong arm, he's got the ability to run a pro-style offense. He's got enough experience, I feel, to take a real big sizable jump here this year. And you say that there's a lot of turnover on rosters, and while that's true, the Gophers are one of the exceptions. They're one of the highest in the country in returning production on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, and I think that's also another source of why I think this could be a potentially good Gopher season here. And at wide receiver, they've got a lot of returning as well with Javon Tracy and Jalen Smith, and they brought in this kid named Noah Jennings from Cincinnati, who I think has shown himself over spring ball and what I saw yesterday and with some of the highlights they put out as a program is maybe he's, you know, right in that mix of maybe being the number one type of wide receiver. So I think they've got a good stable of three. I think there's a lot of good building blocks, but it's one of those things where it looks like a promising Gopher year, but obviously it's a daunting schedule in the Big Ten and depth is always a concern with this Gopher program. So there's reason to be optimistic, but it also looks like it could be on a knife edge like it usually is for them.
You know, Andy, I wanted to get your thoughts about that turnover that most programs go through, and the Gophers have maybe found a little stability with this current group. It seems to me that is going to be the key going forward. Recruiting players, getting them into the program, and then retention. And I think it's true really with any business. When you get a good employee, you want to retain that good employee. And I know colleges are resistant to call them employees, but in reality, some of these kids are making big money, and I think player retention is the next step in big-time college sports, and how you manage that in the course of being able to raise money and keep them around and keep them out of the portal, and maybe new rules and the conferences will be able to implement some order. But getting them in, coaching them up and having them around for those 4 or 5 years of eligibility is going to be the next step in these programs. And that'll be the challenge for P.J. Fleck.
I think it's absolutely vital for a program like Minnesota that doesn't have the big funds of money to be able to go out in the portal and buy the best players at different programs within the conference. So while the Gophers are in the bottom half when it comes to roster spending, they have to really rely on getting the right guys, developing them, identifying the right guys that want to take a step up or a lateral move within the portal that aren't going to be, you know, the big dollar signings. Yeah. I think that's paramount for them to be able to be successful. And I think when you look at Minnesota, as we've talked about on your show previously, Steve, is the Gophers, like I said, are one of the lowest spending teams in the Big Ten, and they finished in the top half. I think that's an incredible achievement in the toughest conference in the country. So I think that's really good what they've been able to do. But I think there's a little bit of stagnation within the fan base of when are they going to have that 2019-type season? When are they going to go out and win 10, 11 games and go on a run and put it all together again like that magical season was? And I think everyone's kind of waiting for it. I think everyone is satisfied, and the real diehards know how bleak it can be in previous eras of Gopher football.
Oh, yeah.
So to see them to be able to be successful now, I think is a, you know, two-edged sword. And I'm going back to a sword reference, but it's like it's really difficult because you obviously want more and you want to be successful and you want to dream about the college football playoff, but you also have to understand that what they're doing to be successful now is an achievement in its own right.
Do you see anything in all of these rules being proposed and, you know, what's being put out there about, you know, age and years of eligibility and all of that?
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that that's going to stick, Andy, that, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC, the big players in big-time college football in particular are going to be on board and all of that? And will it be enforceable?
I think that it will be going forward. Obviously, there's a little bit of a clawback by the outgoing class of football
sure.
players and basketball players in particular that want to get the 5 for 5, that they're calling it 5 years to play 5 seasons of eligibility. They're obviously trying to claw that back, and that's kind of stuck up in the courts right now. But, yeah, I do think that it's a very streamlined process. We're past COVID. Everyone that has been a part of that kind of weird time where eligibility was very fluid, that's in the past now. And I think 5 years to play 5 years, and you're able to go out there. Like a guy like Roman Voss, a Gophers true freshman who I think is going to play quite a bit here this year. We got to see him over practice yesterday, and he looks like he has the potential to be one of the young players that can play right away. And there's no limitations with red shirts. You don't have to worry about, has this guy played 4 games? Has he played 5 games? He can play all year long, and he can do it for 5 straight years. We just streamlined the process, and I think everyone's going to get on board with that, and I think it's really going to cause a little bit of easing of one of the things that's a gripe within college football and college basketball about guys being around 7, 8 years. That's going to be a thing of the past, and we're able to just kind of go forward and deal with the paying of players, but eligibility hopefully is behind us, and we've got 5 for 5, and guys can go out and play, and you know that in 5 years they're done, and that's that. I hope that's the way it goes.
And the challenge and all of that, and the COVID years and the medical red shirts and all of that sort of stuff, it just became hard to sort out. And then ultimately, the legal challenges to it, I think it'll be a while before it sorts out, but hopefully it does. And I am not one of those that want to cut out the idea that players are being able to wet their beak financially and being able to get a piece of what is a huge pie in big time in college sports. It only seems fair that they're able to reap some of the financial rewards.
100%. Yeah, obviously we're not done with the saga of what college sports is in the broader ecosystem and society, right? I think we're going to have to come to a point where they are, considered employees and they're going to have to collectively bargain, and there's terms set around kind of what their relationship is within the university system. So, yeah, I think we're always going to kind of have this until it's fully regulated and fully implemented. Always some sort of angle to it, but I think eligibility hopefully is one of those situations where that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, for sure. Andy Gritty joining us from the Pioneer Press. John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. The Loons, at the moment, fighting for their playoff lives. Long interruption for the World Cup. They are back at it. And Andy, we've talked about this before. The Loons resistant to spend right now, and you get the sense that they might be in a mode where they need to energize the fans. Right now, they have 24 points in the standings, and on the outside at the moment looking in, Portland, Seattle, Minnesota, all at 24, but I see in the standings they're below the line.
Yeah, they're winless in 9 straight matches. They've been playing in Leagues Cup, which is a tournament with the top Mexican league, and it was a really entertaining game last night at Allianz Field where they're playing a club called Tigres, which is one of the legendary clubs in Mexico, and Minnesota was very good defensively and had the better scoring chances but just couldn't convert. And it's one of those things where you look at them and you're like, man, if they could just find a way to finish, if they could just find a way to convert on penalty kicks and close scoring chances and headers and free headers and all of those key crucial moments, they're just missing on that final finish. And that's what's been costing them throughout this losing streak and this winless streak. So I think when you look at it, you know, I've heard from sources is they're trying to find a striker. They're putting in some offers for guys, and hopefully they can bring in somebody that can kind of raise the level right now, because guys like Kelvin Yeboah aren't keeping it, and he might be on his way out, and there might be a little bit of a revolving door at striker, perhaps. I think when you look at attacking midfielders, they need some more creativity. They need some guys that can create some scoring chances. They're trying to do that. It seems like one of them might be falling apart in front of our eyes over these last couple of days. I can't really speak with specifics based on what I know, but it's been really difficult for this team to find ways to be successful, to find targets, to be able to sign them at the right price. And what we're seeing is a team that's just treading water, and it's been difficult to watch because for the majority of this time after the World Cup break, when they've drawn games, when they've lost games, those fans at Allianz Field are starting to boo the home team, and you never want to see that type of situation, but you also understand why they're frustrated in the product that they see on the field.
Yeah, back at it on Tuesday, Tuesday night match, 7:30 at Allianz.
Yeah, so like I said, they're playing in this League Cup tournament with Mexican teams, and the way that they've had a draw last night and lost on penalty kicks and lost to Juarez, which is the last place team in the Mexican League, last Tuesday, they're going to be eliminated from League Cup, so they're kind of a dead man walking in this tournament. And they really, like you said, they're outside the playoff picture in MLS, and that's going to restart next Saturday. So they're going to have to turn their attention to that and get ready. So I think we're going to see a very B-League-type team on Tuesday at Allianz.
All right, Andy, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the update.
Yep, thank you, Steve.
There he is, Andy Gritty, Pioneer Press, joining us here on a Saturday News Talk, 830-WCCO. When we come back, quick golf update. They're in Greensboro in a weather delay. This is kind of the final push for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Really, it's all about the bubble and who's going to be in and who's going to be out for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Scotty didn't tee it up this week in Greensboro. All the news at 5, more on the Twins and Brewers following the news at 5. And, by the way, our lineup card at 5:30 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.